Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. We're going to do something special right now. I'm going to call in a guest for a special show. And we'll talk about, let's see, here we go. Put in the phone number. Okay, I'm not going to tell you, of course, what it is. Let's see. Okay. And dialing now. Oh, this is so much fun.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Gene. It's Merle. Is Enid
yes,
there?
Yes, Merle.
Okay, thanks.
Enid's talking to Frank. Can she call you back at home?
Say that again?
Can she call you back? Or it has to be through this number?
Well, I'm calling you guys.
Oh. Okay, because she's talking to a friend right now. Do you have to talk to her right now? I'll put her on.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, all right. All right, well, that's your mail there.
Oh, thank you.
So, all right, I have to take this call.
See you.
All right.
See you
and
Thursday
at your house.
It's not this week, it's next week.
This is what happens when you call people. They can be busy and...
All right, bye. Hi, how are you doing?
Okay. Well, we're calling in the home of Enid and Gene Lang right now. Enid, you're the wife of Gene Lang who got Purple Heart.
Right.
Can you, tell us about what that day was like all of a sudden, now you're finding a whole bunch of people coming to your front lawn with cameras. Tell me what that was like for you.
Overwhelming. It was overwhelming. I couldn't believe that Senator Schumer was on my lawn coming to our house. And then it turned out there were a few assemblymen here from the area, and it was just my brain kept saying, I can't believe this. I can't believe this.
I bet.
And then
now, yeah, how did you prepare for it?
I cleaned like crazy. I cleaned the house like crazy. And then we didn't know how many people were going to be here. So I really didn't know how much food to have. And, you know, we kind of just guesstimated. And as it turned out, we did a good job estimating.
So kind of tell us what was this all about? And what role did you play in this?
Well, I guess I was just kind of his support system at home. It was, Gene's been pursuing this for so long. His original injury was in 1968, so it's been 44 years, and then... 22 years ago, he decided that he wanted to pursue the Purple Heart that he never got the 22 years before that. So that's when he started calling people, writing letters, contacting people that the guys that he served with, and the people that he was contacting, that he thought were the right people to contact to help him, turned out turned out to be incompetent.
So, and do you have any idea, like, who he was contacting at first? And
well, actually, the first person, the first was Hamilton Fish Jr., and I think he was working on it, we think, but then he actually died. And so then Gene went to the next person, who was Sue Kelly. She was a congresswoman. Then she really didn't help him. And then from there, he went to John Hall, and his staff was incompetent.
And who's John Hall?
He was a congressman from our district.
Okay.
And his staff was just totally incompetent and was actually very nasty. So.
Really?
Yeah. And then from there, he was not reelected, and we think that it was because of an article that the Journal News wrote 4 days before Election Day about how incompetent Hall's staff was. So, so then the next person who replaced him was Nan Hayworth, and she did absolutely nothing. So what happened
was... Was that out of incompetence also, or just...
No, I think it's
that
just...
I can't do anything about it.
She just... I don't think we ever got any kind of a response from her office.
Okay.
We had actually met her at a function here in Yorktown, and Gene spoke with her and explained what he was trying to do, and she really did not... I guess she was looking for votes at that time, and she said she'll see what she can do, and she, you know, we kind of were hopeful that maybe she would be able to help us, and then zero, she did nothing. And then the Journal News, our local paper, the reporter that had been working with Gene, he had a contact at Senator Schumer's office, and
so that was more recently then.
That was recently. That was in the beginning of July, and here it is August, and Gene now has his Purple Heart. So it took going through four congresspeople, and actually Gene did write a letter to Senator McCain, John McCain, when he was running for president. We never heard back from him.
Yeah.
Oh, you did hear back from him. Okay. And but, you know, they, you know, this was small potatoes, so they didn't do anything. And then...
there was a point you got that he got a lawyer. What that point was that?
Well, what happened was Gene goes to the VA, and he had done a favor for one of the other veterans. The guy, something happened with the guy's car, and Gene saw him, and he Gene's one of the nicest people you'll ever want to know. And he said to the guy, well, you know, I'll take you wherever you need to go. Just so the guy, Gene took him. And the guy said to Gene, well, you helped me. I'm going to see what I can do for you. Because he knew about Gene's plight about the Purple Heart. So when this guy went to his church that following Sunday, he saw another member of the church who is a lawyer, but he's also a retired brigadier general, and he was a colonel in the army, and so he said to his friend, "Well, here, give Jean my number." And Jean contacted him, and he told the story, and this was Don Singer, and Donald said to him, "Let's see what we could do." So he got all the paperwork that Jean had accumulated over the previous 19 years or so, and he said, "Well, all of this is hearsay because Jean hadn't been told by any of the Congress people or anybody that you need sworn affidavits and you need this and you need that." So Donald said, "No, we have to start doing this, this, and this." So he was the one that he contacted Jean's witnesses, his eyewitnesses, and got sworn affidavits, and he put all the paperwork together, and then they sent it to the Army, and the Army rejected it. No, it had been rejected at that point. So, all right, well, anyway, Donald was the one that contacted the Journal News, and then the Journal News did a story on him, and then he did a few more stories, and the reporter from the Journal News, this Rich Liebson, he was the one that contacted Senator Schumer's office. And then from there, it was about 2 months, and it was done.
So in terms of eyewitness, wasn't his captain, was that one of the eyewitnesses?
Well, what happened was Gene had three eyewitnesses. Two were his peers, and one was his platoon sergeant, and they had given letters, and then Donald said, "You know, it would be good if we could find either the medic or your captain or somebody like that." So Gene didn't remember the names of anybody who, aside from these other three people, he didn't remember the captain's name, didn't know the name of the medic. So luckily he had posted on different websites, different military websites, and one day out of the blue, maybe 2 years ago, he gets a phone call, and the man says, "This is Joe Carpenter. I was your CO, your commanding officer, in Vietnam when you were wounded." And Gene said, "Well, you're the guy I've been looking for." So Donald, the lawyer, spoke with him, and it was his statement really that kind of completed the package. So that was really the change in the evidence that he had that really pushed it through.
Okay, and as a matter of fact, the captain even came up.
He had said right from the beginning that whenever this happens, whenever Gene was going to be getting his Purple Heart, that he would come up from North Carolina. He wanted to be here. And he was. He came up.
That was real cool, huh?
Right.
So, before I get into the thing itself, so who came to the event aside from the press?
aside from the press? Well, a lot of our friends, some family members, two assemblymen, Senator Schumer, of course, with his staff, particularly this Caroline Wechselbaum. She was the person on Senator Schumer's staff that really took the ball and ran with it. She was on Gene's case, it seemed like 24/7, because she would call the House on the weekend, at night. As a matter of fact, I said to her one time, Caroline, let me ask you something. Do you have a personal life? And she started laughing, and she said, oh, my gosh, I have to tell my mother you said that, because it just seemed like she was working all the time on the case. So she had put the package together to send to the Department of the Army. And so we were very anxious to meet her when she came. And then she had some staffers with her that were anxious to be here because they had been working on the case also. And then there were, of course, the media, couple of stations, and Rich Leibson from the Journal News was here, and probably some neighbors that we didn't know were here, and and it was just a wonderful day. The weather was perfect, no clouds in the sky, no humidity. It was not too hot, not cold, and it was just perfect, made to order. So it was just a very memorable day, just a wonderful, wonderful day.
Well, is anybody like still calling or anything now that it's now that this got, this was on CBS News,
it was,
do you
on
know
CBS
if it was any other news channels?
It was on Cablevision, News 12, it was on News 12, which we don't get because we don't have cable vision.
Yeah, I think that's the DirecTV, and a couple of others get that.
Yeah,
kind of
I think
thing.
Comcast,
yeah.
And a few others, yeah. But we actually have a friend who recorded it for us on a videotape, so we'll get that soon. And but it was, it was just very moving, a very moving day. I think a couple of us were kind of teary-eyed at one point.
And one of the questions I wanted to ask, there was more than one medal handed to him, the Gene.
Yes.
What were the other medals?
He got a few other medals. There were, what happened was he had some medals that he had gotten many years ago, and when Caroline had checked into it, I guess between Caroline and the Army looking into it, they realized that he had two medals that were the same, and one of them should have been a little different. And then he got a few others. He got a total of four. He got the Purple Heart. He got a Good Conduct Medal also, which he said he should have gotten a long time ago, and a Vietnam medal, and then this other one, I don't remember the name of it, but he's already having his medal case redone to have everything put in there correctly.
So, all in all, I mean, people may think that someone gets a Purple Heart if they're killed in action, and that's not the case.
No, you have to be, you can't be recommended for Purple Heart. It has to actually be you being wounded due to enemy fire.
Okay, so, and I, should I assume or not that there are a lot of people out there that are due to get a Purple Heart and haven't?
Yes, there are. There are many, many people, military people that were wounded that for whatever reason either didn't pursue it or they... people in Gene's situation where they were wounded so many years ago and they tried and were turned down and they just let it go. They just didn't pursue it. But he has a very tenacious nature and he just wouldn't give up. Even when he was denied so many times, he just did not give up.
So there's almost a precedence with this of people saying, well, you know, this is what got done. Let's, you know, give me mine now.
Right. Well, kind of show something. He had, after a couple of the last articles, he's had, after the articles and the piece on CBS, he's had other veterans contact him and ask him how they should go about getting their Purple Hearts. So he's turned a couple of them on to Donald Singer and to Caroline Wechselbaum, and hopefully they'll be as pit bullish as Gene has been about pursuing it. There's a lot of what's called walking wounded, and
right.
they just haven't followed through with it for whatever reason.
Well, when you met Gene, mm-hmm. at some point he said, and by the way, I have a shrapnel in my leg. Or did he never mention it until?
I knew that he had shrapnel in his leg, but he never really talked about it. I mean, I've known him 35 years, and I don't recall him saying anything about it other than he was wounded and he still had shrapnel in his knee, and that was it. Never went into any detail. For years and years and years, never mentioned it, never. I mean, he has people that know him for many years longer than he's known me, and when all this came about, they were surprised because they didn't know either that he was in Vietnam or that he had been wounded, and people were really surprised.
Yeah, I understand when he met you, you were sort of wounded yourself
the
time. I said when you met, weren't you sort of wounded yourself from skiing?
Oh yeah. when we met, we were both skiers, and he kept asking me to go out, and I kept turning him down. And then finally, we did go out, and I think we went out maybe once or twice. And then I broke my leg, and he took me home to my mother. I had a cast from my thigh to my toes, and he worked nearby. So every day after work, he would come over and sit with me, and we would just talk and talk and talk. And I was kind of a captive audience, I guess. And then within 5 months, 4 or 5 months, we were engaged. And then we got married a year later, and now it's 33 years later.
Wow. Happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Yep.
That's really cool to hear that. So, what do you think is? Do you think it's that the media will continue on this, like other papers or getting in touch with you and stuff like that?
Well, he got a call from a local reporter just the other day who wants to do an interview with him. So they're going to set that up. But I think after this, things will be quiet. You know, I think.
And you go back to a boring life.
Go back to a boring life. You know, they say quiet is good.
Yeah.
So, I think he'll find something else to occupy his time. He's retired, and I'm retired, and I think he'll find something else to work on. Who knows? Maybe he'll help other veterans. I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah. And by the way, did you have to do all that cooking?
No.
For the people coming in?
No. Well, a very good friend arranged for a 6-foot wedge to be delivered, and then we got a second one.
You mean a 6-foot hero?
6-foot, right. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Another hero, yes. We had
another
two more
hero.
Heroes. Yes. And I picked up some cold salads. I actually made a huge tossed salad, which, of course, the day that we were here, I forgot to put that out. So we've been eating a lot of salad since then. And I had picked up several pounds of cookies, and we had coffee. And there was plenty of food. So,
Where was the hero from? Let's give him a plug.
Okay, well,
why not?
Well, the heroes were from Gaudio's in Yorktown, and it was one was Italian, one was American, that was very nice, and. And we ate that for a couple of days because we had some leftovers, and then we had the same friend had also contacted another place in Yorktown, Turco's, and they sent over a beautiful huge fruit basket, and everybody was impressed with all the fruit that was in there. And we're still eating fruit. there was just plenty of food. And it was funny because one of Gene's veteran friends, he said Gene, of course, had been talking about this for the longest time. And the friend, the other veteran said, I don't know, he said, if I said to my wife I was having people over, but I didn't know if there were going to be 25 or 100 people, he said, she would have said to me, forget it, there's no way, just forget it. So he shook my hand and he said, I'm impressed. And he said, my wife wouldn't do this. It was funny.
That's good support.
Definitely good support, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So. But there was now the media was over before. The news crew had been over before this.
Right.
Well,
the Journal News, the reporter had been here several times with a still photographer. And then Lou Young from CBS News came over with a videographer, and they had done the story. They had done the piece on CBS on the 6 o'clock news that night. So then, once people started seeing it on CBS, they we were getting a lot of phone calls from friends.
So for that one you didn't have to, was that done indoors or outdoors?
All the other reports were done indoors.
Oh, okay.
It was really just the presentation by Senator Schumer that was outdoors.
Okay.
And that was on our front lawn.
So the ones that were getting done indoors, you didn't have to buy food or do anything?
No. No, we offered them water and snacks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the bottled water that you were drinking
on
the air.
Right, the bottled water. So, anybody comes into the house, I always offer them something, you know, coffee,
yeah.
Snacks, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, it's good to hear this, from the side of the person that's watching this whole thing and being supportive, and that's great. So I'm glad to speak with you about this. And does Jean want to say anything?
I don't know.
Ask Jean if he wants to say anything.
Jean, do you want to say anything on Merle's interview?
What does she want to
say? Hold on 1 second.
Hello, Merle.
Hey, Jean. So let me ask you a question. I mean, like, just like when it finally happened, like, what went through your head? I mean, here it is now. You're finally being handed this. What was, not the emotion, but like, what was your thoughts?
Well, when I was first notified that I received the Purple Heart, I felt like the light at the end of the tunnel was Senator Schumer with my Purple Heart in his hand. It was over with, and my battle of the 22 years, it finally was coming to an end.
And the question is, I mean, what did the significance of getting it? What was it? Is it because just something you felt you earned and never got, or what was the?
I felt it was something that I've earned that I never received since I was combat wounded, and I was entitled to the Purple Heart, and I never received it, so I felt it was an end of a chapter in my life, you know, where I fought for such a long time, and it was over with.
Great. Well, at some point, I'll be writing up the whole story of this entire thing, but I just wanted to kind of get the whole atmosphere and kind of conclusion of this and the event. Which I guess for you must have been just as overwhelming to suddenly see at this point. Well, we're talking the senior senator.
Right. I mean,
it's like the senator of the country as opposed to just New York State.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm so grateful to him. I mean, pretty much I'm grateful for his staff for all the work that they did to accomplish this. I mean, they did an awful lot of research. They handed in 100 pages for the Department of the Army to read. I originally started with my attorney, Donald Singer. We only had about maybe 30 pages. That's about it. And they did a lot of research. They found similar records where people were awarded the Purple Heart with the same piece of, you know, same amount of documentation that I had, and that was also presented to the Department of the Army.
Great. Well, we'll see if there's more chapters in this, and what might result might be quite interesting. And what are you going to do if people like, a lot of people write you or whatever, and and say, help me, help me? Are you going to devote a lot of time to it? Are you willing to? Or
I'm willing to help the people. I mean, I have received phone calls from people about this. Keep in mind that we were the walking wounded of Vietnam. There are thousands and thousands of people that never, ever received a Purple Heart. I guess that was one way to keep the numbers down.
Uh-huh.
So I have, you know, I've had people call me. I mean, some people said, I've asked them, well, how long have you been working on it? And they said, oh, 2 years. And then when they find out I was working on it for 22 years, they were shocked. And I explained things to them, how things have to be prepared, how you should present it. And, you know, they thanked me for that. And I also told them, if it need be, you call Caroline in Senator Schumer's office. And, you know, I gave him the 212 number. And I said, call her up, and she'd be more than happy to work with you.
Well, actually, what'll be interesting, because it'll be, I'm going to get in touch with Caroline to interview her, to see how much it makes a difference that that you're living in New York and he's your senator.
Right.
Versus that he's a senior senator. In other words, would his staff do this for someone who's not a resident of New York?
Yes, they would.
But
is it possible for me to put you on hold for a second?
Okay. Why don't I, instead of that, why don't we want, let's end the interview. How about that?
Okay. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
I keep getting this phone call coming in, and it has to be answered.
Okay. Well, just put Enid on for 1 second. I want to thank her, too, for...
Okay. I'll put Enid on, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. I just want to... We'll end this. I want to thank you for giving me this interview. And,
you're quite welcome.
Yeah. And I'll follow up with my call to Caroline. And
okay. Terrific.
Okay. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Okay, bye. Okay. Well, I'm going to end the episode now.